Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you doing today? Welcome to the Morning Motivation Broadcast. I'm sorry about that. There was a technical difficulty. 15 minutes of starting your day off right with hot breakfast for your soul. I am Evangelist Rossi Williams here with you Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. live on Blog Talk Radio. You can tune in with me by calling 323-870-4180 or hear the recording posted after 8 a.m. Eastern on my website, feeldfire.com, F-E-E-L, letter D, fire.com, or by following me on Facebook at Rossi Williams, R-A-W-S-I. Well, I have a very hot topic for you today, prioritizing family and friends, sex, lies, and videotapes. Prioritizing family and friends. Sex, Lies, and Videotapes, Part 1. And we are coming from our foundational scripture of Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4. And there are multiple reference scriptures that I'll be giving you today. So get your pen and paper ready. And remember, you can also go back and listen to this as you share it with your family and friends and write down those scriptures as well. So I am in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'm reading from the KJV. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he, meaning God, will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Come on and praise the Lord wherever you are for the reading of his word. What is our topic? Say it with family and friends. Sex, lies, and videotapes. Part 1. Now, today is day 18 of our last 100 days Remove All Clutter Challenge, wherein we are counting down the last 100 days of 2017 to usher in our 2018, a fruitful 2018, by removing all spiritual and natural clutter. So there are only 17 days left in this year. As part of these last 2 weeks, we are drafting our vision statement pursuant to what I read to you in Habakkuk for 2018. Some people call it a vision statement. Others call it a New Year's resolution. Well, I've been teaching you this week, starting with Monday's lesson, have you downloaded God's app for your life, on how to draft the vision statement. And I have taught you that it must include 5 elements: spiritual, relational, which includes your family, financial, professional, or your career, and then the last segment being health and recreation. On yesterday, I taught you on the spiritual acts, where I taught you about finding God's spiritual call for your life. Today, we're going to deal with the relational in the family. So I need you to buckle up, get ready, and let's go, because I'm going to get really down and dirty today. I'm going to deal with some things about sex that we may not want to hear, but we got to deal with, right? Because there are too many divorces, separations, fornication going on in the church. And, you know, I've been a part of all, right? Because I have not always been saved. So I've fornicated. I'm divorced. And we got to stop this stuff. I'm going to the book of 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. In other words, run from it. Every sin that a man or a woman doeth is without the body, but he or she that sins or commits fornication sins against his own body. How powerful is that? that the Bible tells us to run from fornication. You see, fornication or sex outside of marriage, it creates soul ties. In other words, it begins to bind you to that person. That's why it's so hard to let the person go. Even when you know they're not the best for you, the sex feels so good. Yeah, I'm getting down and dirty with you today. And so you don't want to let go. And it's very hard to be abstinent. I can tell you, I've been abstinent for a while waiting on this husband. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, come on now, Lord. Come on now, Lord. I'm just being real with you today. So you got to flee fornication because God has ordained sex for marriage so that the soul ties are developed with the right person. And then we go to Hebrews 13 and 4, teaches us that marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You see, in today's world, people are being told, don't get married. What is marriage but a piece of paper? Well, I tell you what is your birth certificate but a piece of paper? But you need it to prove that you exist, that you were born on this earth. You need it to get into school. You don't say to the school, well, it's just a piece of paper. Here's my child right here. Isn't this enough? What is your social security card and your social security number but a piece of paper? But you need it to get your job, don't you? What is the deed to your home but a piece of paper? But if you don't go file it and record it and somebody comes and tries to take over your home or a squatter comes through adverse possession, don't make me get into my attorney hat with you. Then you want to go fight and take the paper to the court. Marriage is more than a piece of paper. It is ordained by God. Prioritizing family and friends, sex, lies, and videotapes, part one. I'm really just going to be focusing on the family today because I got to get us right. And I know you're going to be sharing this with your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, and children because we're about to defeat the enemy today. 1 Corinthians 7 and 5. Defraud you not one the other. Listen, folks, this is talking about sex, withholding sex. Except it be with consent or agreement for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Wait a minute. What? What did the Bible say? It says, husbands and wives, you do not just get to do what the world says, which is, well, it's my body. We don't have sex unless I just want to, or I'm mad at you. I'm going to withhold sex as punishment. That's ungodly. We even have laws now where husbands can be convicted for raping their wives. So I'm just trying to take you to back to what God said. Because the only way you're going to strengthen your family, the only way you're going to protect them within the elements of time, space, which means setting appropriate physical boundaries, physical contact, which also includes the emotional intimacy and connection that is necessary to grow, prioritize, and protect your family. And then within the war of words, what you speak is to deal with the fact that sex is crucial. It is important, but it has a time and a place ordained by God. So it says, unless you come into agreement, and then it says that should be so that you could go into fasting and prayer, but then you come back together again, right? You keep consummating that marriage because Satan can tempt you while you're out there. That's what the Bible said. Why is it that Satan can tempt you? Why would the Bible even say that if that wasn't possible? Because it teaches us in Matthew 26:41 that although the Spirit is willing, although you want to try to be faithful, although you want to try to do the right thing, it says, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. I know we don't want to deal with this, but let's just deal with it. There are pastors who are cheating on their wives. We're seeing great generals who of the gospel who are ended up divorced, cheating. Great gospel artists cheating. Now, this does not mean that the wife is not doing her part. The point I'm trying to emphasize to you here is how powerful sex is, and thereby how powerful the lack of sex or the withholding of sex is. Y'all don't want me to deal with that stuff today, but I got to, don't I? Oh, this is Rossi, my sister Vegas. She'll tell you this is me. I love you, Vegas. As my baby sister. So I'm just telling you, you got to deal with these issues. because this is how you're going to prioritize and protect your family. I got another one for you. Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Your priority is your spouse. It's God, your spouse, and your children. Not God, the church building spouse, children. Not God, church building boss, work spouse, children. Not God, friends, church, boss, everybody else, then my family and children. No, 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 no. See, this is one of the issues that we spend more time and we treat the people who are external to us better than we treat the people that matter most. I mean, if I'm your wife, I'm your rib. If you're my husband, you're my head. How can I treat people who are temporary or transitory in my life better than I treat my own rib or better than I treat my own head? How can that be done? I don't have but 15 minutes, but I got to give you this example. How is it, women, that you on pastor's aid and you running to bring pastor water, tea, tripping over each other, standing up announcing all the stuff we're going to do for pastor? You can't wait to get to church to tell everybody what we need to do for pastor. But when your husband asks for a glass of water at home, you tell him, I ain't your maid. Get your own water. How can you treat pastor better than you treat your own husband, your own head? And then men, oh, my God. On Sundays, you helping the women out of the pulpit. You opening the doors for the women. You telling me how nice I look. But your own wife is struggling to get out of the car with three kids and a Bible in a purse. And you're looking at her like, girl, can you hurry up? How can you treat me better than you treat your own wife? How can you compliment me more than you compliment your own girlfriend or fiance? I mean, I know I'm fine. And ain't nothing wrong with being holy and fine at the same time. That's a little humor, right? But if you feel like your wife is overweight, then go work out with her. Go walking with her. Go to the gym with her. If you feel like she would look better with a certain hairdo, or maybe you say, honey, I'd love to see you get your eyebrows waxed, so let me see how these lashes will look on you, then do that in a loving way. See, as women, we connect emotionally. You can be paying all the bills, being faithful, doing everything you need to do at home, but the fact that you ignore us emotionally will make us feel neglected. It will overshadow all of the other stuff you're doing because we are made emotionally. And if you will treat us right and trigger us right emotionally, then you'll get that response that you're wanting that has to deal with the fact of how you are wired. You are wired sexually. Come on, let's deal with this, folks. The man desires sex. That's all he wants, some sex and some food, maybe a television remote, but sex and food, he got to have it. Well, guess what? That's why the Bible is teaching us this marriage bed is undefiled. Between the two of us, the marriage itself is not to be tainted with adultery, other women, people coming in saying what they want, taking up our time. Remember those four concepts I said? Time, space, which means setting appropriate boundaries, physical contact, and the war of words. So no one should take more time away from you, your spouse, and your children than just you, your spouse, and your children, unless it's the Lord. You can't be at revival, a two-week revival, woman. You can't be the two-week revival husband, and you're going straight from work to the church or straight from work just to home to change clothing. How are you taking care of your house? How are you spending quality time with your spouse? How are you hearing about what's going on with your kids? We wonder why when our kids get grown, they don't want to go to church when you had them in church all your life. Because they've been in the church and they've heard you talking about what's going on at the church, and they've seen how you and dad or you and mom live at home that is nothing like what's being taught and how you act at church, and they despise your hypocritical lifestyle. Oh, I'm teaching this thing. I got to hurry up. Our time is running. And then let me give you a few more scriptures, and then we're going to wrap this up and go into prayer, and I'll give you your task for today. 1 Corinthians 11:3 states that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. This is significant because in today's world, we're taught that marriage is 50-50. How can it be 50-50 if the head of the man is Christ? I mean, the head of the woman is the man. Somebody is the leader, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And you cannot walk around and put one foot in the world and one foot, you know, in the Bible or in the Lord. Be hot or cold. If you're going to walk around and say, I'm an independent woman, I don't need a man, then you be that, understanding that that is in opposition to the word of God. You need a man because that's how God made you. And man, you need a woman because that's how God made you. So, and I know I'm not even using my best English or anything today because I just feel like getting raw with this. I'm tired of the devil winning, even in my life. I'm tired of him winning. So you have to acknowledge the role of the man, that he is the head. But let me take you here because I love this. Ephesians 5:22. Wife, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. How do you do everything your boss tells you to do? Everything pastor asks you to do. As a matter of fact, you try to beat pastor to the punch. Everything everybody else wants you to do. But you can't submit to your own husband, the person who loves you, the person whom you said God allowed to find you. Because, you know, the Bible says that he that findeth the wife finds a good thing, and you were his good thing, right? So why is it that he is the least important person on the totem pole? But I love this because then it goes a little further to talk about the husband as well. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, not some things, in everything. Then listen at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, love your wives, love your own wife. It's okay for you to say somebody looks good or looking at them, but, you know, you shouldn't be out there flirting with women. You shouldn't be out there, you know, setting up your Instagram and all your social media and hearing women are inboxing you and saying all kinds of things. Love your own wife. Find the goodness in her. Find that spark in her. Find the things that make her smile and do those, and she's going to make sure you smile as well. Love your own wife. Whatever it is that you're seeing in other women that you feel is what, you know, makes you respond, nurture that in your own wife. It amazes me how much money men spend on mistresses. I mean, tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of dollars. Well, did you see their body? Do you see how they look? Those big breasts are implants. The hips and the big butt, that's implants. You know, people can buy butts today. I know y'all didn't want me to get real like this. They're small waist. That's liposuction. Now, I have to tell you, I have a built body like that. But, yes, everything is mine. I've never had any of that stuff. But my point is, what I'm saying to you is, if that's what you want, nurture that in your own wife. Spend your money on your own wife instead of your mistress. Help your wife to look and feel good about herself. And then it says, love her as Christ loves the church. That means with compassion, forgiveness, emotional support. And then I gotta leave because we're running out of time. I got to quit. But go on to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. You men, you work out, you get those pecs right, you get that six pack right, you're making sure your body looking good, that beard is trimmed just right, just like you love yourself, love your own wife. Come on, Rossi. The last part of this, prioritizing family and friends, part one, sex, lies, and videotapes. We're focusing on the family part today. Is you got to understand what marriage is supposed to be in regard to who it's supposed to be between. In the book of Genesis, chapter 19, we read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, wherein the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for all of its wickedness. And the wickedness was homosexuality. It was men desiring men. And when you read it, the Lord sends some angels to speak to Lot. And in their earthly form, they look like men. And so the men of the city gather round about, and they demand that Lot release these men so that they can have sex with them. And Lot says, well, wait, you know, don't do this. Don't do this, brethren. These are visitors. I have daughters here. But the men of the city say, we don't want the daughters. We want the men. Send the men out here so we can have sex with them. And the Lord destroyed that place. Now, a lot of times what I hear people say is, but that was in the Old Testament. You know, for whatever reason, God now says homosexuality is okay. And that was only in the Old Testament, as the law is nowhere in the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 24 through 28, and then I got to go into prayer and end. I hope this is really blessing you today, prioritizing your family, knowing who is important. I'm reading from the KJV. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use or the God-ordained or the original use or the use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, in other words, that punishment of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, didn't want to hear it, was resistant to hearing that this is an abomination before the Lord, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which means a mind devoid of righteous judgment or the ability to judge righteousness, to do those things which are not convenient. Yeah, marriage is between a man and a woman. Marriage supposed to be a happy place where you're loving one another, you're nurturing one another, you're protecting one another, you're protecting your time. I've already given you that hierarchy. You're protecting your space by setting physical boundaries, right? Your ladies, your friends should not be hugging all over your husband. Men, your friends should not be hugging all over your wives. You're setting the boundaries of what can be touched, who can touch, when that touching is to occur, because you got to prioritize, right? And then the physical contact, you're paying attention to that. You're flirting, you're loving one another, the public displays of affection. You're showing your children how a marriage should be. And then you're even setting boundaries regarding the war of words. Be careful how and what you say to one another. Now, this does not mean that you must agree. There's no way you can be married to someone for 20 years and you've never had a disagreement unless somebody has been suppressing their own views. Because each of you, although one, still has individual opinions. And as time has gone by, you have changed, right? Maybe you used to like red as your favorite color. Now you like blue. Maybe you used to like drama movies or dramatic films, but now you only like comedy. We are people who are ever changing as we learn different things in life. So it's okay to disagree, but I got to say this, then we're going to end. But it's how you disagree. You have to learn to do what we do as attorneys. Stay focused on the issue. You can argue your position vehemently. Have you ever seen how attorneys get in court? They're arguing, we're arguing, we're fighting, but when it's over, we can go eat lunch together. Why? Because we stayed focused on the issue. And the goal is to deal with the issue, not to assassinate the character of the person. I'm going to give you a quick example. Let's say that I am upset because my mate or my husband had something planned with me and then did not show up and didn't let me know. So, of course, what do you think I've done? I've prepared for it, right? I'm a woman. So that means hair, nails, eyelashes, you know, all of those things that we do as women, making sure I got my right perfume, my dress. I'm very excited. This is the man whom I love or whom I'm attracted to. He's that special man that's above any other man, and I'm looking forward to spending that time with him. Well, then he doesn't show up, and he doesn't call me, he doesn't tell me, and let's say I don't hear from him for a week or two. Then finally, I hear from him, and, you know, he's not even apologetic. So let's deal with that. I am angry, right? Reasonably so. I have the right to be angry. I am hurt, and I have the right to be hurt. I'm questioning whether or not I would, well, I'm sure at that point I'm not questioning. I know this is a man I don't want to spend any more time with because I feel like he's an inconsiderate jerk, right? That's really what I'm feeling. Let's deal with the truth of the feelings. I'm feeling like, well, this is why your relationships don't work. You have no emotion, no physical contact, no emotional connectivity with the person whom you're saying is your mate. Now I need to have this discussion with him, and I need to be truthful about my feelings. I don't need to be a doormat. Being a Christian doesn't require me to be a doormat. I need to tell him how I feel. But in telling him how I feel, I need to separate that from assassinating his character. So let's do that for a second. Honey, I want to talk to you. I probably wouldn't say honey. I want to talk to you about something. We had this event scheduled, and you just didn't show up. That really bothers me because it makes me question, you know, what would our lives be like together? Because I do know that if you have a church event, let's say that he's a minister, a pastor, right? Because this is usually what you see. You will show up. And if you don't show up, you will make sure that you let the people know why you're not showing up. And if it was such an emergency that you couldn't let them know beforehand, you will go through great lengths to let them know. If someone from the church calls you, if they need you to come out and counsel them or speak with them, you'll go through great lengths to do all of that. Even if you're tired, even if we had other things we were going to do, you will do all of that. And you'll make sure that you are consoling them. But when it came to me, you didn't do any of that. You didn't show up. You didn't call. You didn't try to make it right. You didn't apologize until I asked for it. So it makes me feel like I don't matter in your life, and I'm angry about it, and I'm hurt about it. So I don't see where I can proceed with it. Or if you're married, you know, you have to say, this is really impacting our marriage. It's something we have to deal with. I am your wife, or I am your mate, and I'm the person whom you're saying God has placed in your life. Then I need to know that I matter, and not just that I matter, but that I matter more than the congregants matter. More than the people who call you, you know, on your job, all of those people, because I'm your rib, just like you matter that much to me. And I need for us to deal with that. I need the assurance going forward that this won't be a recurrence because it's not something I can deal with. Okay, now, what if I, on the other hand, said it this way, and we got to end everyone, okay? What if I said, and thank you for being patient, you're nothing but a liar. You always lie. You don't care about anybody but yourself. You didn't show up, and you were just somebody. You're a horrible person. Do you see the difference between dealing with the issue and assassinating the character? So this is important, that war of words in prioritizing your family, sex, lies, and videotapes. We're going to deal with lies and videotapes part two tomorrow, which also deals with friends and with how you are required to deal with your children. So this is very powerful, but I got to end. I ran over, and I greatly apologize for this, all right? But remember, we're working on our 2018 vision, which encompasses the five areas: spiritual, relational, which includes family, financial, professional, health, and recreation. So tomorrow we'll do part two, which will wrap up the relationship part. Make sure you print off those three pages on the morning motivation page of my website at feeldfire.com because you're supposed to be working your task within it. Let's pray, and then I'm going to give you your daily task. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Maybe tomorrow I'll be a little more calm. But we gotta stop the devil from destroying families and winning. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, you are so powerful. We thank you for this raw, rhema, unadulterated, right now word that we receive today, which is to come in and to prick us, to come in and to move us, to come in and excite us about loving the people who are important to us again. Not just loving them in word, but loving them in deed. Not just loving them symbolically, but being in love, in love, in love with them, that they are the apples of our eye. Father, we just come in and we beg forgiveness for how we have served others more than our own family, for how we have prioritized others, nurtured others, commended and praised others more than our own spouses, our own children. Father, we are wretched and undone. And in doing so, we have given Satan full access and full dominion in our homes, and we are living the results of that every day. So, Father, we ask forgiveness. We ask, Father, that you come in and restore us right now. Help us, Father, to love the people in our lives, our families and our children, like we've never loved before. Help the men who are listening today to go home to their wives and just pick them up, kiss them, love them, hug on them so much that the women start saying, what in the world is going on? And then they say, because I just realized again how much I'm in love with you. Help the women to go home to their husbands and just tell them how fine they are and how good of a provider and lover they are. And when they say, what's going on? Because I just really realized again today how much I'm in love with you, that nobody matters more than you. Help those who are engaged, those who are dating, in the preparation of believing that this is the right person, to love. And to set boundaries within the concepts of time, space, physical contact in the war of words in such a way that we end up victorious in our marriages, in our relationships, in our parenting. And that no weapon formed against us prospers anymore. If there has been past infidelity, help the couples to work through it. Work through it. Work. Active word being work, Lord. Not just apologize and think that cures the pain or the injury, but to understand that forgiveness is required, but grace and mercy is discretionary. So in order to receive the grace and mercy or the unmerited favor of renewed fellowship with that person, you got to work through the injury that you caused them. Help us, Lord. And for those of us who are waiting to be found, or for the men who are waiting to find, help us, Lord, to be right. Help us to know how to communicate, how to love, how to be open. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everyone, I've run way out of time. Thank you for bearing with me today. I'm back to my regular Rossi now. Okay, go to feeldfire.com. Let me give you our task for today, and we're going to end. Our topic is part one of prioritizing family and friends, sex, lies, and videotapes. Your task for today, and you should be on page one of the three-page sheet you printed off from my website, which is the template for forming your vision. Your task for today is to go in and write down all of the things that make you happy about your children or spouse. Just write it down. Doesn't have to be a sentence. It can be little bullet points. Then write down all of the things that irk you or make you mad. Then all of the things that make you sad. I just want you to write it down. We're going to deal with it in next week. But today, just write it down and pray over those things. The things that make you happy, pray over them for those to continue. The things that make you mad, pray over that, that the devil not have the victory. The things that make you sad, pray over that for your joy to be restored. But as part of your prayer, seek God for what is your role in it. See, I fixed you. You thought I was going to say pray that the other person gets right. No, this is about you. Pray for the Lord to show you what your role is in creating those situations, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that you can help fix your relationships. All right, I love you. I'll see you in the morning. We're going to deal with part two. Go to fieldthefire.com and print off the three pages from the morning motivation page. All right, share this with family and friends. Everything you need, more information about me, the ability to contact me for your church, everything you need is at fieldthefire.com, F-E-E-L, letter D, fire.com.
I've been running ever since. It's been a long
time coming,
but I know
a change's
gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there. on the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. And then I go to my brother. And I say, brother, help me believe. And then I went to my father. And I said, Father, I'm down, down on my knees.
Other people's bodies more than you take care of your own. Your wife, i.e. your ribs, and your head, i.e. your husband, matter more than any other ancillary parts. Take care of your family. Go to fieldyfire.com. See you in the morning.